That is a new song, and that's something that we recorded in our practice space down in Huntington Park. And we're kind of like doing a our best effort to try to mix it ourselves. We have a full-length album that a friend of ours produced and recorded at a nice studio. And it was really great because it was really nice equipment and he's a really good engineer, but the process was very uninvolved because we did a tracking day, and then 2 weeks later we did another tracking day, and then 5 weeks later we did our first overdub session, and then 6 weeks after that we did our second overdubs, and then we got the mixes based on like availability of the studio and his work schedule. And so we were interested in being able to take more time with choosing our overdubs or arrangement or whatever. So we're doing that right now and mixing it myself.
Where can people get Transmission Music?
We sell our CD on CD Baby, the album called Overwires, and we're gonna hopefully have our new EP done in like 3 weeks or something. So,
And you guys are all going to have CDs and stuff for sale at the fundraiser as well, right?
yeah, I
Good.
hope so.
Oh yeah, hopefully we might. It still might.
Nobody can hear you, man.
No, it's just us talking in the room.
And
No
no,
one needs
it's
to.
still, it might not be ready for that, but soon after, at least on iTunes, it will be.
You should give people like coupons or something at the fundraiser.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about like how to do that. Something that they can walk away
redeem
with.
This for Phantom Pains.
Yeah, exactly.
Now available
So
on
we'll see.
iTunes.
Again, this is the
Get
Kill
free
Radio.
In-N-Out burger with every
That's a
album.
good one.
Yeah.
This is the Kill Radio benefit fundraiser that we're talking about, that's being been organized and hosted by the Central Second Collective. You can get more information on them from myspace.com/thecentralsecond. And you guys have a Central Second website in the works, right?
In the works. Very slow
Something
process.
to look forward to.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
Yes.
it's pretty much designed by a really cool guy named Seth. It's our effort to like pay for the URL and actually buy the space to host it. I think that's the next step that
But
we've
the
kind
MySpace
of
thing is,
that
MySpace is like,
MySpace is active, and that's
I was actually like I was looking at like people's albums. Like actually, this is random, but I bought the Clips. The Clips.
Who are the Clips?
They're awesome. They're the Neptunes producing this hip hop group, but like on their album, like they promote their MySpace before even
Yeah.
their website. Like, MySpace is like the new.
I get yelled at by my mom all the time for like not updating our real website. She's
Yeah,
like,
my
"Who
mom
visits
too.
MySpace?" I'm like, "Well, most of the people I know visit MySpace." So she's like,
That's
"But
so funny. That's
like
my mom
someone
the
like
same thing.
me, I'm gonna go to the website first. What's MySpace?" And I'm like,
Yeah. I haven't looked
"The
at our
fan base I'm looking
website
for isn't you." So.
Well,
months.
there's sort of an upside and downside to both those things. Like with a band website, you can do whatever you want. You can have all kinds of features and make it
Yeah.
really, and make it so that it works every time you go there, and give it all kinds of really cool bells and whistles. But you're responsible for getting everybody there to see the site. They're not going to come
Yeah.
across it by accident. They're not going to come across it because they went to somebody else's band site.
Right.
Yeah.
And MySpace has that, but it's extremely limited with the kind of technical things you can do, and also the fact that it's kind of hard to really, I think, make it your own. I mean, you put out a bulletin on MySpace, and like nobody, once you get past that like 10 friend mark, there's no way for you to keep track of, the bulletins. Like
Right.
the MySpace I have for Is Good, dude, it's got like, I don't know, like 15,000 friends. I don't know any of these people. They don't know me, and
Yeah.
like, there's got to be a way to sort of combine both of those elements where you have all the great things you can do with a band website, but all of the networking that you can do with
I guess
MySpace.
I look at like the MySpace versus your website is like MySpace is the current active, constantly like rejuvenating like thing that you can access at any moment in time and it will be up to date. And then the website is like your storage locker. And once someone like is spending time on the current active thing, they go like, "Oh, I want to know more." Then you go to the storage locker where there's like you know, all this stuff that you can go into more detail about the band. You've got this available for download. You've got, you know, some history thing or photos if you want to look at, like, pictures of people or whatever, you know. Because we're all really, really, really attractive.
Extremely vain. Another reason to attend the Kill Radio benefit, because you'll get to see these guys.
That's one big rule in the collective.
The calendar should be coming out soon.
Unattractive people.
The Chippendales / Central
Our calendar? Yeah, that's going to be nice. And I'm kind of curious why it's Boys Club here today, because there's some awesome girls in the collective.
Yeah, there's
Vivian, who drums in Die Rockers Die, is an amazing drummer. Denise, who drums in the band that I play in, The Transmissions, is amazing. She's at work, so that's her excuse. And Sarah is in transit, and she'll probably get here about an hour after the interview's done. And she's, you know, an amazing songwriter. So there's a lot of ladies. Pauline, who plays violin and anchors for Architects. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great girls in here. I'm sorry, it's all dudes.
Jen, our drummer and keyboardist now.
It's a lot of
Pete's a girl in the Death to Anders.
Biggest girl of them all.
Biggest girl of the all.
Does anybody want to do another live song while we're kind of waiting for
you only did one, Randy.
Yeah, Randy, would you like to do another one? Because we got like three from Death to Anders. So. All right. Why don't we set up the mics and do that? Yeah, why don't we'll play another song from your CD, and then when we come back from that, we'll get one more live song. You're listening to killradio.org, and we're talking about the benefit that is happening on January 18th, a week from Thursday. And it's going to feature The Transmissions, Death to Anders, One Trick Pony, Anchors for Architects, and Die Rockers Die. And again, that's January 18th at the Echo, 1822 West Sunset Boulevard. You really don't have an excuse for not going. It's only a $5 cover. It's 18 and over. Show starts at 8:30, and it benefits Kill Radio. Allows us to broadcast this completely free international programming. We have all kinds of crazy shit going on at Kill Radio. We have music shows. We have political shows. This is an internet radio station that's remained nonprofit and anti-corporate from its inception when it started as the audio wing of the Independent Media Center in 2000. So we could use the support, and collectively we'd like to thank the Central Second Collective for their help putting this fundraiser together.
You're welcome.
What track am I going to put on here?
How about number 8, Eater of Hearts?
That's a great name for a song.
All right. And
you want to introduce
it? I would just like to introduce this. Uh-oh, maybe I can get Nick in on this one.
All right, go for it.
K-I-L-L Radio. No time.
somehow in her with you. I love everything at first and nothing after a while. There's nothing worse than falling through. Oh, 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 oh. Fall through you. And there's now Peter Hart. And there's no time, that's where it starts. Gotta get it somehow. Peter
I know, it's like ending that song goes in well with having just turned on the giant fluorescent bulb in here. It's
wake
like...
up, bitches.
For those of you who can't see what's going on in the radio, we've been sitting more or less in the dark for the past hour, and we just switched on a huge fluorescent light that makes us all feel like fish in an aquarium. So, we're gonna... That was One Trick Pony. And what was that song called?
Eater of Hearts.
Eater of Hearts was the name of that song, and that's from their new album. And now Randy is going to play a live acoustic song for us right here in the Kill Radio studio. You're listening to A Day with the Central Second Collective on killradio.org. You can get more information on this group of bands by going to myspace.com/thecentralsecond. You guys about ready?
Yeah, sure.
What's this song called?
This song's called Box Song.
Let's do it.
I push the boat into the sea. It's only fair that it be me. I'm a rower, rower, rower. I look in deep over the side into the black rolling eyes, and they're lower. Lower, lower. He has been robbed of his desire. Here comes the blood chimney's afire, and it's over, over, over. And no one can reach me. No one can reach me where I've gone. And for now, those ivy strangled walls. And for now, you're the ivy in my arms. And no one can reach me. Well, you've got complaints, I've got the time, they've got the phone, it's your dime. Shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. No more regrets, no more guilt, all bayonets pushed to the hilt. We're all soldiers, soldiers, soldiers. 5:58, early morn. My heroes are dead, and I'm reborn. Now it's over, over, overjoyed. And no one can reach me. No one can reach me. No one can reach me where I've gone. Far behind those ivy strangled walls. And for now, you're the ivy.
Dude, that song is a journey. I don't know how else to describe it. That's,
you know, I always think a journey when I hear that song too. It's like something about any way you want it, that's the way you box it.
It's
any
just
way you
like
want
that.
It.
When the
lights, how's it going?
Well, you know, as though like I have, you know, I have a lot of bands in here doing acoustic performances, and you know, I put on the headphones, and every once in a while, I'll just kind of zone out, and I'll forget. You know, if the song is good, I'll kind of forget that I'm in this tiny Kill Radio studio, you know, and that there's someone else in the room playing for me, and I'll think, you know, that I'm listening to something on an iPod, or even going beyond that, I'll think that the music is in my head and I'm, you know, on a magic carpet or something, you know, like so, you know, when a song really takes you there, it's that's what a good song is.
Thank you, man.
What is One Trick Pony a reference to? Where'd the name come from?
The name came from one time I was in this music theory class with this my teacher who was a douchebag. I don't even remember his name, but he actually
Mr. Douchebag,
and like people would ask him questions because he did transposing for a lot of like famous bands, like awesome bands like Limp Bizkit, and and so like people would ask him about like different bands, like, oh, what do you think of this people? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Blah blah blah, and he would just like. He's some nobody douchebag, but he would like break down everybody like, oh well, I don't know, blah blah blah. That band's pretty much a one trick pony. Like they only could do, you know,
right.
They only had one gimmick and that was it. And I kind of was like, that's kind of cool. I like that one trick pony. Like that's it. That's all you got. You got that, and you're hanging on to that, and that's it. You know, by a thread even. So,
what's gonna happen? This is a question for everyone. What's gonna happen to the collective when one of you hits it big? And just like suddenly takes off and is in incredibly high demand, are you going to be able to maintain that sort of identity within the collective?
Is I'm going to like clean the pool of whoever like works, whoever makes it really big. I'm going to be their like housekeeper. I'm going to do their like shave their bushes.
Wow. Are you talking about just the guys?
Trim their hedges, right?
I think that's what the pool cleaner usually does, is trim the bushes, save bushes upstairs when the...
rake leaves.
When the husband's
save
gone.
Bushes mainly, though.
I don't know. I live in a small apartment. I don't have a pool. But have you guys put any thought into this?
Will you clean my bathtub?
Yeah, that's pretty dirty. Actually, the thought that Rob and I throw around all the time is, you know... I mean, screw making good music. We just wanted to surround ourselves with good bands so that when they make it, we can just kind of like latch on.
Ride
their
coattails.
Yeah. That's about it. No, but yeah, I mean, we would hope that that's what this, it'll promote, you know, if one band breaks first, then it can just kind of like, I mean, it's going to help all of us no matter what. It will. So, yeah, I mean... We haven't really thought too far in
what's I mean, what's cool is like we're all friends, so anybody like who makes it, it's kind of like, wow, it's fucking great, you know, good stuff, you know,
and,
like.
And can I open for you?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't take us
that's
on tour.
Awesome.
You're out.
I'm so happy for you. Can I borrow $50? my lights are going to be shut off.
How often do you guys meet as a collective just to talk about, okay, we're going to do a new show or something like that, or whatever?
This is the first meeting we've ever had. It kind of feels good.
Well, like Kill Radio meets twice a month, every other week. And, yeah. You know, we have a much larger membership than you guys. But, I mean, it's a challenge to get everybody to stay committed to going just every other
physically,
week.
I don't think it really – we've only done it a few times, but, like, we – mostly it's through
– Gmail.
Yeah, yeah.
Our Gmail list.
Yeah,
our Google.
Yeah.
Email so you list. Just constantly stay in communication.
We have a collective, like, yeah, email thing. Like, so every day, you know, I check my email and I see, you know, okay, this person said that. And, you know, you can like, even if I miss it a few days, I can see, like, what the conversation was going on and then I can add to it or not. And
what do you guys have, like a list email? Like a group email kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. I mean, each group, too, lives in a different part of the city, too. So that's it makes it kind of hard for everybody to meet up on a consistent basis.
So you don't meet under a bridge somewhere, like down at the docks, in costumes.
Our bat cave in costumes. That's awesome.
We should get that going, man. Warriors, so come funny. Out and play.
It's super secret, top secure, even though no one is looking for us or trying to find out what we're talking about.
You guys mentioned before that each of the bands in the collective have this... really strong live performance. What are some of the things that the different bands do that, you know, is different than just sitting there with your guitar, like to make the performance, to really bring in the audience? I mean,
Randy plays naked.
Yeah.
I guess like we could all like talk about each other. Like when I see the Transmissions, Christian is a fucking freak on stage. I've seen him jump on a bar at, what was it? Silver Lake Lounge. Well, this is, and I didn't even know him that well, and he stood on a bar and played his guitar with the heel of his shoe. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's out of it. And then
you saw him at the Scene, and you took your guitar, threw it at the audience, and then like ran out to get it.
I've seen him give people his
don't
guitar.
Say he'd scare people away from the fundraiser. Yeah. Come to the fundraiser.
Not in a violent way. It was a more like, here, I'm giving you this guitar, not throwing it at your face. You can have this. No, but I've seen him give. He's given his guitar to people in the audience to play you know, along with the song. Whatever, they don't know how to play or anything, but you know, he'll just incorporate it somehow. When, you know, with all his, he has knobs and switches. He has a lot of knobs and switches that he turns.
I am a knob.
He's a knob, and he turns knobby. Himself. Also, yeah. But then, like, Death to Anders, their fucking, their dynamic is just awesome. Like, Rob has this scream voice that he does that, I don't know. Because I can't scream. My voice is too soft sometimes.
Let me just interrupt here and say, like, the exact same thing that you observed while they were playing acoustically. Like, that's one of the things that I enjoy most when I'm watching them is that, and with great envy, because I really wish there was a second guitarist in my band, the way that they play together is, like, is usually what I'm most into. I mean, you know, obviously the drums and the bass are an important part of it, and I'm listening to that too, but their interplay and their, like, communication on stage is really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
And they're both very distinct voices, so it's nice to hear both of them sing and both of them play guitar in their own ways.
Who within the collective sweats the most?
Wow, that's a great question.
Champ?
No, Champ doesn't, because Champ from Die Rockers Die, he by far is the craziest,
the most
one.
Physically active.
But you don't see him sweat. Like, he does. I don't think he's like. I don't know.
He sweats a little.
I think Christian is the sweatiest.
Yeah.
Transmissions.
Yeah, I might sweat them.
I think Christian
I
think is
pretty
sweaty.
Well, let's play some more music. That's what I think. Let's play some Die Rockers Die, actually.
Rob gets sweaty. Rob has a I Love Jesus shirt or something like that. It's like wife beater, and he wears that, and he sweats everywhere.
What Die Rockers Die did you already play, may I ask?
Rob would know better than I.
Yeah, what track did you play?
Well, Champ burnt me this CD, and we played Trip So Low and Girlfriend with a Knife.
Can we play either Waiting for Genius or Living in the City?
Living in the City, yeah, play that.
Yeah, but they have nothing that will make your life complete. That's Waiting for Genius. Living in the City is on the collective disc.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell me, before we put this in, tell me what is this Central Second Collective compilation volume one, other than by just repeating what I just said?
It's the Central Second Collective compilation volume one.
You took a longer pause. That's what it is. How do people get this? How do they get
1995
this
on
eBay. Yeah,
So it's just one track from each band.
We usually, I give them out almost like with flyers for shows. Yeah, so like, yeah, it's just, just for promotional
free
stuff.
Free at the show. Yeah, one's selling it.
Yeah, anytime there's shows, you can definitely pick those up. And
Was it hard for each of you guys to like pick one track? Like, this is going to go on the compilation to represent my band? In the
I only
collective?
Had one at the time, so that was it.
All right. All right, well, let's play Die Rockers Die then. Living in the City is the name of this track off the Central Second Collective Compilation Volume 1. And is there a Volume 2 on the way?
Well, eventually there will be, I'm sure. Especially when we run out of those. We'll
you'll make a Volume 2. Yeah. All right, sounds good. You're listening to killradio.org.
Abandoned junkyards, railroad tracks, the unseen America, deep by those who live by the freeways and die by the freeways. Got up at the end of the blue line, Figueroa Street, went to buy something to eat, going nowhere, just wondering and serving everyone. Bums asking for change, a pulling comfortable is strange. Big tall fucking buildings cover my views in clouds. That's Los Angeles, 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 that's Los Angeles.
Echo. You're listening to killradio.org, the Central Second Marathon benefit special show to promote the fundraisers that we're having on January 18th at the Echo. And I realized after all this talk about music and such, we haven't really spoken much about venues. And this show is at the Echo, and it's considered one of the better venues in the LA area. Why do you think that is?
Rob, you need to answer that too. You go ahead.
Good, Nick. That was
that was well done.
Nick, I really, really appreciated that answer. And your generosity of sharing.
I think that microphone is actually off. Yeah. Let's see, that's even better.
Hello. There we go. The Echo is, I guess, one of the big venues in Silver Lake, like the Silver Lake Echo Park area. It's kind of owned and run by by Spaceland as well. Like they kind of book shows together and stuff. Yeah. And it's great. Just like really, really cool bands go through there. And both the cool thing about like that whole area, whether it's the Silver Lake Lounge or the Echo or Spaceland, like they all attract a local draw. And it's also really, really responsive and just like really cool and nice people in general. Nick and I are really proactive with our promotion, and we'll go to those venues and hand out sample CDs and really try to spread the word. And it's really with those venues where we find people that are actually very genuinely interested in learning more about us and like actually like interested and thankful to be receiving this free CD. We've gone to like other places, whether it's like UCLA campus or just like
ooh, a coaster.
Yeah, or like different venues, like even like on the West Side. Like on the West Side and stuff like that, where we'll go up to like random people and be like, hey, you know, like check out our CD. You know, it's a free sample CD. And we'll try to talk to them about it, and they'll just kind of walk away, or they'll be like, no, I'm not interested, and hang their, you know, put their head down and like walk away. And
oh, that was you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And that makes it really tough. But going to these venues, I mean, like we've promoted a lot at the Echo, and it just makes us really love what we're doing. It's such a great feeling to go there, and also to play there. I mean, the stage, it's one of those like big, like a big stage. It sounds great on stage. It sounds great off stage. Like the sound guys at the Echo are always on with their music. And I've seen some big bands go through there. I mean, like I've seen like 50 Foot Wave played there, and I guess Beck just played there. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club played there, like kind of like these secret shows. So it's really cool for us to kind of share the same stage.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, be on the same stage that they were
on. I've seen a lot of like, and they do, it's kind of a non-genre specific place. I mean, I've seen electronic acts there and rock acts, and always, it does always.
They have a fucking a dub night there, like dub and reggae on Wednesdays. That is awesome. And I'm not a club goer usually, but that place is so cool. And it's like live. They have live acts. It's not just DJ. Yeah, a lot of
hot. And
good times.
One of the few venues that has this kick-ass like outdoor back patio, where like in between acts, you can just go out there and hang out, you know, drink a beer, smoke a cigarette, do whatever you want. There's, like, picnic tables, and it's actually really nice out there. So,
bring sandwiches.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of it. Is Dub Club is what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Is the name of that. Yeah.
Yeah,
what makes for a not good venue to play in? What's an example?
Being in Los Angeles.
This is great session now.
No, I'm saying you don't necessarily need to name any names, because you might end up playing
there
anyway at some point. But like, what are the sort of...
There's a bunch of different elements that when combined, like, really makes for a bad experience. I mean, one could be the people that go there, like the local crowd, if there is a local crowd.
Like a thug crowd or something.
It's just like they're... Like what we were saying, like when we were trying to promote there, like they're just not welcome to new music or to like having an open mind. One could also be the booker. You know, if they don't care about the bands, then and they don't really care about the night, then the night really won't be that successful.
I think there's places that you can't even really call a venue. Oh, it's like, I don't know. There are
like
places where, yeah, it's a open space where they allow bands to come and do, you know, play a show, and everything is on you. It's just, yeah, it's basically, it's a rehearsal space. It's an open space for you to go play. And
that you pay
what
for.
Happens, yeah, that
you pay for.
Yeah. And what happens there is all on you. And yeah, and those places are absolutely worthless, and you might as well never darken their door.
Have you guys ever had to do that? Pay to play a show?
When I first got here and I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Yeah,
they,
I did it because
they get
I didn't
because
yeah.
you don't know anybody.
Yeah,
because
I got roped into stuff, you know, playing at like Key Club, which is horrible. And then, you know, and stuff like that. But then, like, you know, there's other places that actually, like the places we just mentioned, like in Silver Lake, where there's actually, it's not just a open room. There is a history there. There's a theme. There's people who go there because they, you know, they go there regularly. They go there not even knowing, you know, what band is playing. They go there because they, like, the band has established a kind of rapport with the community. Like, you know what kind of music is going to be here. And just because they're playing here, they kind of have our stamp of approval. As opposed to other clubs where they're just like, they've realized that, like, customers aren't really who you're selling to. You're selling to bands. Like, you're just using bands as, you know, like, hey, here's a place, come here and bring your cousins to buy our drinks. So then, you know, and no one benefits except our bar, you know? And it's like, it's really cynical, and it's really sad, and like, and it's really short-sighted on their part, where they don't care if you're good. You can completely suck, which most bands do, and that's why, you know,
if you suck and you bring 100 people, then they'll have you back, you know, every time.
Or if you suck and you just bring a few people, they're like, well, we would have been closed anyway. Why? It's like, just keep warm bodies in the club over and over again. Like, they don't really care.
I wonder if it's sort of if anybody's ever done a study on sort of the economy and how that kind of trickles down to musicians. Because one of the things I've noticed recently, and Rob, you and I were talking about this before we started this show, about there's a lot of the new cool thing to do now if you're a venue is to sort of like outfit your closet to be the acoustic room, so that you have your stage, but then there's this other room at your venue that's like, you know, downstairs or in the back or something like that, and that's where you have like just the young singer songwriters who couldn't possibly draw a big enough crowd, who don't have a full band together yet. Yeah. And you know, it sounds like a nice thing, but at the same time, the reason they do that is like, oh, look, here's 4 square feet that we're not making money. You know, so if we can put a guy and a guitar in that 4 square feet and he brings 5 friends and they drink.
I think it's shrewd and cynical. Like what they do, like, I mean, just as somebody who like always loved music and you come to the, you come to Los Angeles when you first move here and you see places like, you know, the Roxy and things like that, that, you know, the
Doors
played.
Right, now they have On the Rocks, which is their little acoustic room.
And it's, and it's all those places where they basically they've gotten smart and they've realized that, like, you know what, there's so many bands and we're not going to try to like be a filter. We're not going to try to be, you know, a place where we pick talent. It's more like we just want to fill the place. And if it's an off day Tuesday, fine, whatever. You play, you know, you sound like fucking Whitesnake, fine. Come in and play, and I'm sure at least your cousins will be there to buy drinks, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, like, it's really a cynical...
Well, but at the same time, though, I mean, like, to look at it from their perspective, too, it's become increasingly, more expensive to own a venue. I've had conversations with venue owners where it's like, look, I don't want to charge bands to play because I realize that that sucks. On the other hand... It costs me $800 a night to stay open. That means if I have 4 bands, they each have to bring me $200 in order for me to break even. So if a band comes in and they don't bring anybody, I lose $200. Or worse, if a band comes in and they scare away the customers that were already there, then I lose $400.
Well, I don't want to point out like, okay, club owners are just like, they're assholes, blah, blah, blah. They're running a business.
No, I'm sure most of them
are. But who loses is just like... music lovers in general, like people, like there's less and less places where there's like, you know, like in the old days or like maybe I'm just romanticizing it, where there's like places that were the club to play and they said, hey, this band's awesome, and since we are as a club have a name and we are known and we're like the stamp of approval, just know that they're good. You don't have to know that band, you just know that they're awesome because we picked them. So like,
and then people should come and see this band because they know that this venue is known for having good artists.
And I don't think that increasingly is like rare because they're just like, oh, whatever, we don't care.
I think Hotel Cafe is one of the places that's done a pretty good job with that.
There's a few places that like Hotel Cafe, which I don't necessarily like because I don't like that style of music, but like, but they're doing it right.
They hand select each of the bands. Like, there's no way to get your band in there. Like, there's like one guy and he books all the bands. There's no way. You can't like give him a call and say, hey, can I come in there? Like, they listen to your music and they decide if they want to.
They don't
have
say
it
like, hey, what's your draw? Okay, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do also say that, but
they're selective. They're selective, and they know the style. They know the sound. What you get
as a result is that if you say you played there, that means something.
It means just a little bit,
they let you play there.
Of their improvement.
Definitely. Yeah.
There should be more third parties
that count and that like you can put on your, you know, on your like kind of resume almost, you know, like a physical resume, but like just say like I played there. So that means that they approve of me.
Well, that gets back to the collective atmosphere.
What I've been trying to say is that I feel like the thing that's not getting represented here and the thing that I think like is actually the most enjoyable place to play and is most representative of kind of the things that we do are the things that are outside of venues, like the loft parties, the venues that exist outside of venues, like a bowling alley. There was a show that we had there recently at the Eagle Rock, like bowling lanes, and in places
it's still a venue,
like that.
But it's just like
but it's not. It's not in the sense that like that venue isn't mainly looking for its income from bringing bands in, and those bands and their fans are the base for drinking. Like with a loft, it can be, you know, it can be someone's personal space that's their practice space, and they throw parties on the side that help pay for rent or whatever. With the bowling alley, their main source of income is people coming and bowling.
Yeah, those
and they
places
have a
like
bar
not
there,
corrupted,
and,
you know?
And they're not like focusing on looking to bands or the band's fan base to like earn their income to pay their rent.
Yeah.
So that's why I felt like some of my most favorite shows have been private parties, you know, like the party we played at your previous drummer's house.
The cocaine and the, you know, where the cocaine is a freaking great place. And it's like...
Well, the evil venues in question seem just a lack of ingenuity and creativity. Just
yeah, and they're just laziness, yeah, they're
almost
yeah, and yeah, they're just like status quo, and it's like yeah, if you are a venue owner, I understand there's probably, you know, I don't know, there's difficulty in keeping it open, but maybe it shouldn't be open.
Well, I'm wondering if it's changed because, you know, people have
don't call
less
it a music venue
music.
Anymore. It's open a fucking restaurant or just yeah. make it a bar. You know, like just don't. Just don't call yourself a music venue if, like, you're just, it's just warm bodies. You know, like, I understand, and I'm not some, like, hippie and blah, blah, blah. Everything should be free. But, like, you know, maybe those places shouldn't even really be open, or they should be ignored.
Well, and those places are closing, too. I mean, a lot of the places that aren't able to stay afloat without doing things that are kind of anti-musician mm-hmm. are changing. You know, they're becoming clubs instead of...
Yeah, and they should be. Get a fucking DJ venues. And just, you know, yeah, just play... J-Lo. You know,
or they're just shutting down. What we were saying before about how, like, if you play at a good venue and other people play at a good venue and you can say, you know, hey, I played at this venue and have that mean something, that really captures the same thing that I think you guys are doing with a music collective where it's, you know, by being a part of the Central Second, each of the bands involved can say, you know, it's about associating yourself with other things that are good.
Well, thank you for tying in our ramblings with to something that's relevant.
I'm a master.
With regards to the Echo too, that's the type of place where, you know, once our bands start doing well, once we start doing well for ourselves and we're climbing the success ladder, if I, you know, may be so bold, those are the type of venues that you're going to remember and go back and say, hey, they were cool to us when we were first starting. They weren't sweating us about prepay or anything like that. They treated us well when they let us play there. Why not, you know, play there again? Even if at some point you get your band to the point where you could, you know, play bigger venues, you remember, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just, cool. I don't know. Cool. How often do you guys get paid? Like each of the bands, how often do you guys get paid for doing shows?
Rarely ever.
Well, withdraw. Like, I mean, we've gotten paid from like cocaine, the Lava Lounge.
Every time you gotten paid from cocaine, that just sounds hilarious.
It's awesome. Lava Lounge is a good place. Lava Lounge, like
I used to remember the Bigfoot Lodge being like a really cool place where you got paid, and then they stopped having bands there. I think it was like their general policy was more about like appreciating the music and the bands more so than. Bringing in warm bodies.
Our last Echo
Lava
show.
Lounge was like, it Lava was Lounge like your first. Yeah, our last Echo show was bar or something like that.
Lava
and
Lounge.
After that,
Lava Lounge
was
really good at paying us. Like Lava Lounge, we played a few shows and they asked us back all the time. And like, you know, it's a smaller club, but still, like, we played small clubs that you still get fucked and you don't get any money from the like. You bring tons of people, like, and you're like, well, who else would be coming here if we weren't playing? And
I they think
still
that's
don't
mostly
give me any money.
Thanks to Michelle who owns that place because
she's
a genuine music lover, like. You know, mm-hmm. not to say that the people who run the other venues don't love music or didn't love
they
music
really,
at one point.
To be honest. I can't imagine.
But
them
I think they get.
Being
I think everyone's a good person at their core, but they get a little short-sighted based on their
you're
like
nicer than me.
Demands. I think you're a good
are people
person.
Basically good or basically bad? Let's get this. Let's get to the bottom of this.
I think they're evil ferrets.
Let's play. Let's go back to music. I think we're up. We're gonna play the Happy Hollows, right? Yeah. All right.
Evil ferrets.
You are still listening to KillRadio.org. You've been doing so all day. What are we going to play here? The Central Second Collective is hosting, playing, organizing this fundraiser for Kill Radio so that we can get some new equipment and continue broadcasting alternative media for your listening pleasure. KillRadio.org. Check out the myspace.com/thecentralsecond for more info on them and also this fundraiser, which is January 18th at the Echo. It's $5 cover. Show starts at 8:30. This is a band that's not playing at the fundraiser but is a part of the Central Second Collective, and they are called the Happy Hollows. Thank you.
Tell me what you want, I will always stay around for so long, just like yesterday. If you get drunk, you can always sleep over on the couch, it will be okay. With everybody. I know the sundown will always shine right before the line, you'll catch it on time. Whoever hurts you will come back crying, come back wishing you luck in your desire. With everybody. With everybody. You love him so right that you could follow him for the rest of your life. He's like the sunrise. You've got to follow him to the edge of the world.
Happy Hollows are playing the Troubadour soon, right?
It's on Monday, I believe.
This what? Monday, the 15th.
Happy Hollows Monday.
Yeah.
Their show.
Yeah.
The 15th. That's 3 days before the 18th. That would be Monday.
I was not saying it for the mic, but for the edification
for the
of
rumor,
those here.
Yeah. Right. Well, because that's a cool place to play. So. Good for them. That's we should check that out then. That's the January 15th, this coming Monday, a week from today. You can check out the Happy Hollows. That's the one band that you won't see from the Central Second Collective at the Kill Radio fundraiser brought to you by the Central Second Collective. The bands you will see are The Transmissions, Death to Anders, One Trick Pony, Anchors for Architects, and Die Rockers Die. It's January 18th. That's a Thursday. It's at the Echo, 1822 West Sunset Boulevard. It's 18 and over. So,
show starts at 8:30.
All you 20-year-olds who can't go see bands. Have you guys ever had that? Do you guys remember that experience? You guys are all over 21, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being 20 years old. I was living in New York, and I just desperately wanted to see this band because I, you know, I had all their CDs, and it was this electronic pop group that from England, and you know they were in New York, and it was like I couldn't go to see them because it was 21 and over. I was going to be 21 in like 5 days or something like that. And I couldn't go see it. And I was like, I won't drink. I don't want to drink. I actually want to see the band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was awful.
Tape my mouth. Like, I won't drink, I promise.
Well, if you're in the Los Angeles area and you are under 21, you should come to the Cocaine in Little Tokyo on 2nd Street.
Which 366 East 2nd Street.
Which is what our collective is named after, the corner of Central and 2nd, where the collective
God,
is, where the Cocaine is. And it's a venue that supports live music and music without cover charge on Sundays.
So why is it, what is it, 18 and over? Or?
18 and over, because there's a sushi bar and et cetera.
Food. Free on Sundays.
Oh. Free on Sundays.
That's cool. But enough about them. Right now it's all about the Echo, January 18th, the fundraiser for Kill Radio. Guys, thank you so much for putting in all this work. I'm going to thank you ahead of time for the awesome job you're going to do on stage for us, but thanks for the work you've already done organizing this fundraiser for Kill Radio.
It's our pleasure, man.
You'd be surprised. You would think this would have happened already. But as far as I know, you guys are really the first group of bands to get together and really be proactive about helping us, which makes sense. Getting to know you guys today really makes sense.
Thank you.
That.
Hopefully it won't be the last.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
All right, check out myspace.com/thecentralsecond for more information on all of these bands. You've been listening to killradio.org's Day with the Central Second. Don't forget to come to our fundraiser January 18th at the Echo. Show starts at 8:30, $5 cover.